Well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to the latest and a somber episode of Ear to Ear Podcast with C. Ray and Lanny Moe. I'm C. Ray. That's Lanny Moe. Lanny Moe, how you doing tonight, buddy?
I don't even know what to say. It's I got a little bit to say, but we'll talk about that here shortly.
We got overall,
not bad. Not too awful. I didn't chew on a barrel of a gun or anything, but it is what it is. So
right.
Let's go.
Yeah. All right. Let's get into this. What feels like it's going to be a repeat episode. Before we get into anything at all, we want to just kind of wish Treylon Ray the best, quickest recovery possible. There's a lot of you out there. I know you saw it on TV. Some of you saw it from other sides of the stadium. That happened right in front of me. Where he went down is where I sit. And I'm going to be honest with you guys. It was nasty looking. I don't know what the end result is going to be, but it did not look good. And most of the time when the medical staff comes out, they'll hey, you know, where's it hurt? Well, you know, does this hurt this? How you feeling? They'll talk to him. They'll look at something. Them dudes didn't look at crap. As soon as they got there, they ripped that bag open, dude, and they started pulling crap out of that bag. They put a splint on it immediately. They air casted it immediately. Like, they wasted 0 minutes talking to him, asking him what happened, asking him what. No, like, it was like they were like, holy crap, let's get this guy out of here. So, you know, we're going, you know, our thoughts are going out to him. We hope that it's not as bad as it may have looked in front of me, hoping that obviously his season's going to be done, hoping that it's not like a, hopefully he's coming back next year. So we just want to put that out there for him. Get better, man. But we have a new segment. I think you guys are going to like this. There's a couple out there for sure that I know is going to like this. And here it comes. We're going to call it Lanny's Public Apology, okay?
And you can call it that.
Yeah, for you guys out there that don't watch on YouTube, you know, I made a graphic of a picture of Lanny with his hands up in the air. It's really good. Lanny, tell us what's on your mind.
So you think it's really good. But anyway, it is not an apology. It's an omission that I was wrong. And I am not by no means still agree with the billboard, still agree, but Neil Brown is not capable of getting things done at WVU. From the aspect of a public figure, as far as a program builder, he's not the guy. Obviously we're through year six and it hasn't happened yet. And I just, reality is really set in with me. It's not going to, there's a couple reasons that if I was going to have an ambassador for a company, man, Neil Brown's the guy, but for coaching my football team, he is not. And, it's one of those things where you have a product. Neil Brown is building a product, and that product is no good. So who can buy your product? You got to sell your product, and the product is no good. So what do you have to do? You got to discontinue that product. And I think that's where we're at with the Neil Brown era.
Okay.
Not saying run him out of town. I'm not saying that, you know, he needs for sale signs put in his yard and stuff like that. You got to move on. And, you know, they say that things flow downhill, and this is right on Ren Baker's doorstep now.
Well, so, one of the things here is, you know, we've tried everything. He's recruited his own guys. They don't work. He's gotten in the transfer portal. It doesn't work. We've gotten rid of offensive coordinators. It doesn't work. We've gotten rid of defensive coordinators. It's not working. At this point, the only person left that makes these decisions is the head coach.
Yes.
And, you know, yeah. I mean, for me personally, you know, and everybody that watches us and everybody that talks to us in real life at the tailgates and everything, everybody knows you're the optimist. I'm the realist. That's part of our.
And I am. And I am.
Yeah. And that's not just for our podcast. We've always been like that. When we used to work together, when I still lived in Morgantown, we were the exact same way. And that's how you and I are. We're just different in that manner. And in 2022, for me, the Pitt game 2022 was when I realized, I don't think this is the guy. I don't think this is him.
Anytime, anytime the table's been set, he just comes through and just bulldozes through the table. You know, I mean, it's like, you win this game, we're ready to roll.
Yeah. Nope.
We do this, we're ready to go forward. Nope. Yeah. You know, it's like, dude, you can't beat nobody. And yesterday, I'm not saying he proved me, he proved me wrong or whatever. It's, I'm a big old boy and I got broad shoulders and I can take it whatever way. And you know what? I held on to hope as much as I could for this guy. And I can't fight for you. Neil, I can't fight for you no more.
Yeah. You know? There you go. I mean, listen. One of the things you said he can't beat nobody. There's a segment we'll get into later where that's going to kind of rear its head again, because I have some things to say that I think is going to kind of even surprise you a little bit on some stats, some new stats I don't think that have been out there for very long that are disturbing, honestly, for not just WVU football. I would say any football program. And when I give these stats later, I would be curious to see how many football programs still fall into this. That's Lanny's segment, everybody. Lanny's public apology. He doesn't like calling it an apology. That's what I'm calling it. maybe we'll call it Lanny's admission of guilt. Yeah. Or, admission of guilt.
I don't know. I don't know.
That's good.
I just want to go in real quick with, like I was saying that, set the table, you played a team that, in every aspect, they're right there with you. And you didn't compete for just a little bit, and you had to, and we can talk about the game here shortly. As of today, Sunday, 5 o'clock, whatever, we're recording this. Baylor made the announcement that they're bringing their coach back next year. So guess what? An ass whooping given to West Virginia extended his dumb ass another year. So the way they seen it too was, you're beating somebody that's even with you, and we can't. So
they started off not great. They started off 2-4 and they've rolled 4 straight into 6-4, and they've done it dangerously. They've done it by their quarterback, who isn't too shabby. So with that, let's roll into Baylor review. Obviously everybody knows we lost 49-35. Green went 19-39 for 237 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick. Honestly, it should have been 1 touchdown, 2 picks. If anybody saw, I know everybody saw it. That bad pass he threw to the end zone, man.
The tipped one that Ray caught.
The luck of that ball not being picked and falling into Ray's hands. Because when a play happened from where I was, I put my head down, started screaming because I thought it was picked. And then I looked up and we had, and the freaking, the musket went off and the band started playing. I'm like, holy crap, wait a minute, what? And then I watched the replay. So Sawyer Robertson, he went, listen to this kid's stat line. Unfortunately, he did exactly what I said he was going to do. They're good against bad secondaries, man, and he picked us apart all day. 26 of 36 for 329 yards and 3 touchdowns. That's not, don't get me wrong, that's not Tom Brady stats. That's pretty damn good. 26 of 36, 329 yards. That's efficient. That's an efficient air raid right there.
And with that, they probably had 4 drops.
Probably. They did have some drops. Oh, yeah, they did. They had a couple drops that,
Big ones on third down with nobody around them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of as far as quarterbacks go. Now, I think the refs felt bad for us yesterday, man, because there were a lot of our drives that got extended because of calls from the refs. I'm not saying those calls were bad calls. I'm saying those penalties happened at very opportunistic times, because there were a couple times where I'm like, okay, yep, we're getting ready to punt this away. And then a penalty would get us a first down or automatic first down or get us the yardage for a first down. But Lanny, for the life of me, I don't know why. I don't know why teams bother running the ball against us. I mean, Baylor still had a decent day on the ground. They went 100.
How about they busted 2 40-yard runs?
Well, they overall, though, overall, teams are more efficient against us in the air. And Baylor did have a good day on the ground. They went 183 yards for 4 touchdowns on the ground. But they were so much more efficient in the air. I mean, dude, if I'm coming into Morgantown or WVU is coming to my home, and I'm capable of doing it, I'm running the air. I'm running through the air all day until that defense gives me a reason not to.
Well,
but
they're not going to.
Yeah, but you know, so that's our first getting into it. So, Lanny, fire off. Tell me what you liked about yesterday.
What I liked about it, man, the fight we had in the first half. You know, I mean, the defense played as bad as you could play. You know, normal. They played normal defense, and you know, offensively. It wasn't too. I mean, we moved the ball. We moved it. We scored. You know, play callings. It is what it is. You know,
but I don't understand it sometimes. No. I don't know if he's setting up for like, I'm going to call this play because I'm setting up for 8 plays later. Maybe that's what it is. But it's like sometimes he calls crap, and I'm like, wow. Yeah. I don't remember what it was, but we called a run play yesterday. I'm like, why did he call that?
You know, I'm not going to get into the play calling because I didn't think it was God awful that killed you.
No, I just don't understand.
I didn't understand the fourth and six? You know, pretty much inches. No, it was like 4th and inches, and you throw it out there. To Taylor, and he missed him. Taylor was open. No, he caught it. He caught it, but he was short because he had to dive for the ball.
Yeah,
and he was short. You actually lost yards on a pass, on a completion.
I remember which one you're talking about. Green threw it basically into the ground. He had to come back and dive down for the ball, pick it up, and then try to run. And by that point, the defenders were on him.
He dove. It was toward the West Virginia sideline. He turned, and the ball was like thrown. You know. Anyway, he caught it, and he was short still. But anyway, what I liked about it was you. You had the opportunity. You're down 7. Miraculously, you're down 7 at halftime. And it amazed me as I went up to the top. And, of course, your ass don't get the ball after halftime. Baylor gets it, and we stop them. And the whole third quarter was probably the best D that we played in a minute, in a while. So it looked like Cincinnati from last week again. Baylor scored nothing in the third quarter, nothing. And West Virginia scored nothing. Had every opportunity. I think we had 3 possessions in the third quarter and got no points out of any of it. And had a chance to tie it, probably had a chance to take the lead. And the table was set and bulldozed through it again, you know. And next thing you know, here comes the fourth quarter, down 7, and – the rest is history. And it's just, I mean, if they made adjustments on defense and, you know what I'm saying, and at halftime, you know what? It worked for one quarter, whatever. But offensively, absolutely shit the bed then. And we can't put a full game together. And it's just, it's frustrating. It's just frustrating to sit there. And, you know, and I blame our fans. I still believe we don't have good fans. But also, whenever I went to Cincinnati and when we took the, you know what I'm saying, with 6 minutes left in that game, so it looks like somebody pulled the fire alarm of that joker and their fans left. So every team has bad fans. And I get leaving early and I don't agree with it, but some of y'all, it takes me 6 minutes to get home. And I know some of y'all travel 6 hours. I get it. You want to get the hell up out of there. Pack your stuff and go home because you got the weekend. You know what I'm saying? You still got Sunday stuff to do. But, you know, I'm not calling individually bad fans, but it is what it is. You know, you have a right to bitch and moan and cry and shout and just the same as I do. And you might not agree with me. We might not agree on each other, but it is exactly what it is. And with that, it's we're just ready to move on. I'm still – I'm still going to have my season tickets until I die. I'm not giving up on, you know, whoever, I don't know the answer, but whoever they hire to be their next coach, help us, help us. That's all I got. You know, I come in here with fire and truly want to, like, you know, rebuild something, because we tried to Lego block this thing together. Neil did, and his staff, and it's not working. And like I said, I'm not going to thank you. Thank you for your time and your effort, but go. I'm done with you. The fan base is done with you. I think I was the last one holding on to that string that wanted you here to be, you know, it is what it is, man. And wish you the best of luck, but you are not a Division One. You'd be one hell of a coordinator somewhere or helping somebody else's program, but you're not a head coach at this level. Simple fact.
Yeah, and I've been saying that for a little while now. It just never seemed to kind of transfer for him. And speaking of things that kind of enforce that for us, I got you know, another little section here I like to call. Let's move on to Neil's latest dumbass comment. Okay, we've had the hostage video after Pitt in 2022. We all remember that. We had the we're all having fun fiasco this past year, and now we have this, Jim. Okay. I don't know who Neil Brown's the only coach that I've ever seen say stuff like this in his presser. He said that we're going to have a losing record at home, and a lot of it has to do with who we are playing. What the hell does that mean? Of course it has to do with your playing. It's your football schedule. We're playing the same teams now that we've played since 2012. And, you know, this isn't a advocate, you know, this isn't me advocating for Dana, but this is me saying Dana was our coach from 2012 to 2018. He played all the same teams Neil's playing and managed to win and managed to have better records at home. So I don't understand what that means. Like, is that I'll tell you what it is. I'm tired of Neil and the excuses in the press conference. Well, Traylon's injury affected us. Well, if Green converts on that one fourth down, we have a better chance. It's all excuses in the same regurgitated lines of we got to do better here. We got to do better there. We're right there. We hung with them through three. It's freaking power football, man. This kind of regurgitation on these sentences and statements and excuses fall on deaf ears after 6 years of us hearing the exact same thing, seeing the exact same result. We don't want to hear it anymore. It's at a point where it's like win or get out. You're not winning. So get out, you know, get the hell over it. You're playing 12 games again. You're not playing 12 games against West Virginia School for the Deaf and Blind. You're not playing G5 football anymore. You know, you're not winning. And of course it's due to who we're playing. It is because of who we're playing. It's because you can't win. You can't beat them. Like, I just don't get it. It's irritating to constantly hear a press conference and hear the same stuff. Credit to them. They did some things we weren't expecting. If Neil, you could win a game, I could say, man, credit Neil. He did something I didn't expect. He won. I mean, am I wrong? Come on.
Man, I'm just totally over it. Yeah. And I never thought it takes me so much to pack my stuff and move on from anything in life in general. I love to just, you know, fight for it, and I can't. And, well, you know, and then, you know, and I truly, you recruit these players and they don't get better.
That's no development. Exactly.
You don't get better. They're not getting better. And, you know, I'm sitting there watching it and I go, and as I'm sitting there, like reality setting in on me, you know, sober me in the stadium. And, you know, and I'm sitting there going, this is garbage. This is bad. And I said, we don't have the players that Baylor has. And that's awful. That's awful to say that we don't have the players that Baylor has. So that Baylor program has went past ours. And, you know, that's, and I don't know why I put us on, because I'm a fan, I guess. But I put us on a certain little pedestal. I know we are not Ohio State. I realize that, you know.
And we're better than what we are right now.
But we should be better than what the hell we are right now.
So here's the thing. I half agree. I half agree with that statement and half don't. And I'm not. And maybe the way I'm going to say this isn't correct. Maybe I do agree with your statement. I'm just not articulating it correct well enough here.
You just don't want to agree with me, dumbass.
But the okay. Damn right I don't. You know what? I'll agree with you, and I'm going to tell you why, because you're finally agreeing with me, you know, and some other people out there. You know, when we get to our viewer questions, Lanny, you started up a hornet's nest here last week, man. Some people want some answers from you.
That's how I felt.
I think we're getting these players that other coaches in our past would have turned into great players. Dana, people can say what they want. Dana was good at taking players and developing them and taking his philosophy and putting it around what those players' strengths were. And Rich Rob was good at that too.
I loved Rich. Always have, always will. Dana, I couldn't stomach Dana as a human being. But other than
I don't care about it.
But hold on, coaching wise, Dana put his players in positions to win.
Yeah.
He put them, I'm going to put them in the best spot where I think we can win if we just morph this into that. And like, for example, just real quick, the damn touch pass
that we did with Tavon.
I think he would have scored 60 touchdowns if they'd ran it 60 times in the bowl game against in the Orange Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, and that's putting a player in a winning situation, you know, where that player can win and or do his best at. And I don't see anything that, you know, over here going on right now where the player's developing and being put in winning situations.
Here's the difference. Dana could look at his players and say, okay, this is who I have. This is what they're good at. What can I scheme to their strengths? Neil looks at this and says, this is what I want to do. How do I make my players do it?
Square pegs, round holes.
Exactly. And you can't do that unless you're recruiting, I don't know, Tom Brady every time. I don't know. I don't know who the answer is for Neil's offense. But all I know is it's the difference of making your scheme fit your players, and Neil tries to make the players fit the scheme. And that puts you where we are now. And at least, you know, here's a couple other stats, Lanny, that I think you'll find interesting. And these are just kind of random things. A couple of them I got from Earbeard. Thanks for putting this out there. Giving him full credit for it because I found it on his Twitter posts. We've only outscored one opponent in the second half this entire season. And in the whole season, we have outscored one opponent in the second half. Do you want to guess who it was?
I'm going to say Kansas.
Albany Great Danes, the FCS school we played. That's it. It's the only opponent we have outscored in the second half. WVU has only scored three points in the third quarter this season at home.
I saw that. I saw that on something else today.
Yep. And here's one more. Through 69 games of Neil Brown's tenure, he has beaten only three teams who have finished with eight or more wins in 6 years. Now, you know, we Texas Tech, if we beat them, I mean, can't even say it with a straight face. Also, just a random thing. Barney's Bakery pepperoni rolls suck. Have you had these yet?
They're awful.
I don't know what happened to Chico's. No. I don't know what happened to Julia's. But if they ever throw one to me in the stands, I'm throwing that damn thing back on the field. They are terrible pepperoni rolls, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, and if
they are the pepperoni roll West Virginia University. So,
Well, there you go. You know what? It must be Neil Brown's recipe. That's probably what it is. They're awful. And if anybody out there likes them, please comment and tell us that you do and why, because I think they're terrible.
Would you catch one?
I ordered one at the concession stand.
You took out a small loan then for
one. Yeah, I took out a small. I took out a second mortgage on the house so I could get a damn pepperoni roll, was awful. And one of the my little brother-in-law, a friend of his, has a ticket in our section. We got our 10 seats there, and he bought one of them this season. And he had one. And he said, dude, the only way I can eat it is like this. And he showed me. He has them freaking cover it in chili and cheese. And I'm like, okay, so at that point, it has become a conduit for the chili and cheese to get to your mouth. And he goes, exactly. They are terrible pepperoni rolls. If you do anything, WVU, you know, get rid of Barney's, please. Get God, I'll make the pepperoni rolls for you guys.
Man, you're on anything that ends in the letter brown B now, B. Right? Barney's, and, Barney's and Brown. Yeah.
It's terrible. Where we are. You know, coming back to football here. It was just a somber first half. I thought, damn, okay, you know what, we might be able to hang with them. And I said that's what it was going to be. It was going to be offense versus offense. It was going to be, can our offense keep up with theirs? Because their defense isn't fantastic. It's a little bit better than ours. Our secondary is terrible. He picked it apart, like, unfortunately, like I figured he was going to. Through the first half, I was like, all right, you know, hey, that first drive, I was like, all right, we're driving hard. We might be able to hang with this today. And then the second half came. And then it was just, you know, Green looked really great on paper. But if you break down some of the decisions he made yesterday.
Bad.
It's bad. Bad. And I'm taking flack from some people. He had 237 yards.
Bad.
The yardage, 237, first off, isn't some sort of miraculous number of yardage to be insanely proud of. But it's like, do you not see the decisions he makes? How that jump pass where he jumped and he threw the ball directly into the ground? I mean, it's just, I don't know. I don't know how.
You have a 6'7 tight end and you threw it at his feet four times.
Yeah.
How do you miss that target?
Got it's 6'7. Listen, and he's got to have a wingspan of at least 6'7. You know how they say normally your wingspan is generally your height. I'm a lucky person, but I'm lucky in the other side. I'm 6'3, but my wingspan is 6'10. I don't know why I have ape arms, but I do. I would have changed that. I would have changed that 6'10 for a 6'3 wingspan any day of the week. But I mean, so you can throw it 2 feet above his head. And he should be able to catch it. But, man, a 6'7" guy reaching down to the ground to pick up the damn ball, that's hard to do.
And then Hudson Clement catches anything in his vicinity, and you're making him do acrobatic shit downfield.
Oh, yeah, that 44-yard.
Oh, it was right in front of me. That was great. Yeah. But the thing is, though, he shouldn't have had to adjust that much to catch him. You're catching bad balls.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's My thing was with Green yesterday. Yes, he ran pretty much when he wanted to. He could have ran 10 more times, and then he forced the ball.
Yeah.
And that interception he threw, you know, that pretty much was the dagger. I mean, I think you're down 14 at that point anyway.
Yeah.
Should, you know, Neil was like, bad decision. Should have never threw that ball. No, really. I mean, obviously, it was an awful decision. Wasn't even close.
Well, but I mean, still, how many
I'm not picking the kid apart, but it's just we all know he's not a good passer, you know, in that square peg, you know, in a round hole type of deal again. And it's awful. Just
It is. It's cool. Moving on, we got UCF coming to town this next week. Going to be a cold game. I think the high right now during the day is supposed to be like low 40s, high 30s. They're forecasting rain and snow.
Football weather.
Football weather for us. It's not going to be football weather for UCF. Supposed to be some rain and snow moving in the area next week. And 3:30 kickoff, in case anybody hasn't seen it yet.
Yep.
Be right smack in the middle of the day there. They don't really have a whole lot going on this year. They're not a good team.
And we'll win. We will win because we play a bad team. They will beat a West Virginia. We'll beat a bad team.
You're probably right. They are under 500, so we probably will beat them. They are fighting for bowl eligibility. Their quarterback's not great. They've played now. Here's the hook for that. Okay, their quarterback statistically is not great, but they have played harder defenses than we have, with the exception, I think, three of their games overlap with us. I think they played Arizona, Iowa State, and one more, I can't remember who, that overlaps with us, and they lost to all three of them as well. But they've played some other teams. They played Colorado. They played TCU. They played a couple other teams that have a better defense than us. So statistically, their quarterback isn't lighting it up. That's not to say that we're not going to make him look like a freaking Heisman candidate. Yeah. But their big weapon is RJ Harvey, their running back. He's averaging 132 yards a game on the ground.
We'll shut him down.
Yeah, you think so? I'm glad you think that, because I sure as hell don't, Lanny. I don't have any faith.
Well, hey, it's either one or the other. There, you're going to throw for 1,000, run for 1,000. I'm picking my poison that we will stop the run, because we ain't been able to stop the pass all year. So that's where I fall with this one.
That's fair. Their defense isn't stifling, but I mean it's okay. I don't know if I would go so far to say decent. They're giving up 20 points a game. So, I mean, it's not like they're locking it down to 10 points a game or 14 points a game. You know, they're giving up a decent amount, but it's good enough. It's good enough for us to probably screw up against. I really do, though, because of the last 6 years of history, they are an under 500 team. So I do think that we are going to win. 27-24 is what I'm going with. You know, both these offenses are blah. Both the defenses are blah. I think it's going to be close, but it's a Florida team coming to West Virginia, essentially in the wintertime, you know, going to be high 30s, low 40s, rain, snow. I think that hopefully might work in our favor a little bit. Maybe they'll be a little shell-shocked, because I don't, you know, they haven't played a whole lot of cold weather teams, and the cold weather teams they have played, they played them earlier in the year.
And it hasn't been cold weather, so...
Oh, I don't know. It's been pretty chilly down here.
No. What I'm saying is, though, this is the first – this last week is the first time we've gotten any type of cold, you know?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, geez. No. We've had some cold snaps down here a few times so far. It was pretty – you know, it was decently warm last week. But we've had some cold weather a couple times already. But, I mean, I do think we're going to get the win. I think we finished 7-5. We're not beating Tech. We're not going to Lubbock 2 weeks from now and winning down there.
Hold on here. Your math is wrong. You just said 7-5. That means we'd have to win our next two.
Oh, sorry. You're right. You're right. All right. I forgot to shift my note. You're right. I think we're going 6-6.
Yeah.
I think we do beat UCF next week. Not winning in Lubbock. So, I mean, you have to think about something. That's 6-6 with what was supposed to be Neil Brown's best team. Now,
so
it has to be it. That has to be the nail in the coffin, 6-6.
I think it is. I really believe that 6-6 is.
Yeah.
Sorry,
but go ahead. Tell me what you think about UCF. I think
UCF is absolutely it's Central Florida. It's Central Florida is full of garbage, and that's what they are. it's gonna be West Virginia winning that game 38-27. I think
38-27, man. You're giving us all 38-27. Yeah. You're giving us 11 points.
Yeah, I think we win by two scores.
I think we win by field goal, 27-24.
And we're going to end the season 6-6, playing in the
Who gives a damn bowl?
It is, but it's going to be like the Armed Forces Bowl, and you know, something like that, the Lockheed Marshall or whatever the heck it's called. I'm way off with the name. I know it. But we're going to play in that bowl when it's going to be, we're going to be playing at a bowl game. It starts at 10 o'clock at night or something stupid that nobody's going to go to unless you live there. And, Neil Brown. And I can't see any realm of keeping him anymore. We talked about this, you know, roughly about 30 minutes ago, and, it's 6-6 fits it well for his ending his tenure here at WVU as a 500 coach.
Yeah, well, he is a 500 coach, and
yeah.
So I guess that's it. So, all right, well, great. Let's move on to one last thing here. We got some viewer questions this week.
Great.
The last couple episodes.
Can't wait.
Yeah, so. Well, let's get on it here. The first one was kind of like a funny, you know, being a dumbass question, but it's funny, and I said we're going to answer this. Would you rather fight 100 duck-sized Neil Browns, or would you rather fight 10 Neil Brown-sized ducks? I'm going with the Neil Brown-sized ducks. There's only 10 of them, and here's why. They're probably going to be playing prevent defense, and it's not like more than one's going to be closer than 10 yards to me at any time, so I'm going to go with the Neil Brown-sized ducks.
That's a good point. I don't know about ducks, but I know geese freak me out a little bit. So I'm not fighting 100 of them. I'm just I'm taking on the 10 and let's rumble. So I will go 10.
Neil Brown size Brown. Ducks.
Yes.
Neil yes. Brown size ducks instead of 100 duck size Neil Browns. Mm-hmm. All right, I got you. Lanny, this is one for you, man. You know, you kind of poked a hornet's nest a little bit here this week when we were talking about some stuff this past week. A few people have asked this. How are you coming to the conclusion of $1 million per win and equating that to us getting what we're paying for with Neil Brown?
It's facts. This is 1,000% facts across college football as a whole. Hear me out. Write it down and work it out. Let your math Matthew for a second here. Okay. They want answers. This is my math mathing. You got coaches that are getting $10 million a year. They're winning 9 or 10 games. You got coaches that are winning on the average $7 million a year. They are winning 7-8 wins.
So this is simply just the teams that are paying their coaches in this range that
salary
generally the game.
Salary equals wins. So okay. if you got a coach that you're paying him $1 million a year and he wins 2 games, he's worth it because he gets $1 million a win. Neil Brown at this level is his salary's 4. And he's winning over 4, so you're actually getting your money's worth. And if just Google college salaries and compare them to what they win. And most of the time, when they do not win, their asses get fired. That's, you know, so if they're not, if the guy at Notre Dame, I don't know, but he's probably. Okay, let's go this real quick. Cignetti, they just extended Cignetti at Indiana after last night's game.
Why not?
Cignetti signed an 8-year. Hell yeah, they did. They said, we're locking his ass up. He signed an 8-year, $68 million contract. Do the math. 68 divided by 8, it's like 7, almost $8 million a year.
No, it'd be more than that.
Yeah, it is.
Did you say you said 68 million?
68. Sorry. It's 64 or 68. Okay. It's in the 60s.
Okay. If it's 64, it's essentially $8 million a year.
Okay. Essentially. Okay. So for him to earn his money, he's got to win. They're expecting him to win 8 to 9 games a year, correct? For them to be happy. For them to be happy with him and him earn his money, you know. So Neil Brown's getting 4. West Virginia's never, ever, ever. For one, I'm probably wrong by this, and I'm good with it if I'm wrong. I will be the first one to fess up to when I'm wrong. It takes me a minute, but I get there. But you know, I said West Virginia doesn't fire coaches. In the history of WVU firing coaches, please tell me. The last one I think got fired was the guy, it was Bowden pretty much, you know, and that's it. That's all I ever remember. You know, Huggins, let's be real, they came to a parting way with him, you know, but across the board, what WVU doesn't fire. And if they don't do something about Brown, I tried to, you know, I don't see him coming back next year. It'll shock me. It'll absolutely shock me if he does. And it's going to – this fan base will be beyond done if he comes back next year. But yeah. back to the $1 million, that's the simple math that I can give you with that. Okay. When they say he's not worth it, math is math. And across college football, it's about $1 million a week.
So basically, to put this out there – simply, you're saying, look up any coach, look what his salary per year is,
and look
what his wins are, and that X million should be close to X games. 5 million should be around 5 games. 8 million should be around 8 games. So you think we're paying Neil Brown four. If he wins six this year, he won two games more than we're paying him for.
At least one game more than what you know.
Right. Well, there you go. For the people that asked and the people that are wondering, that's how we got there. That's how we got there.
And that's Lanny Mo math of the day.
That's Lanny Mo math right there, man. Yeah. Here's a question. The next two, they didn't have a name attached. Well, they had a name attached. They just didn't want it out there. Okay. It seems the administration doesn't seem to care right now about firing Neil Brown, .. yet. What can we as fans do to actually make an impact? My answer to this, not much aside from, okay, look, I like the billboards. I have no problem with it. I got no problem with it. We've been over this in two different episodes. We had the guy from the Wolfpack on. We know how we feel about that. But the AD and that department probably laughs at that kind of stuff behind our backs. If you want to make a real impact, you stop showing up to Morgantown.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah.
20,000 people less buying tickets, 20,000 people less buying concessions, buying merchandise. That adds up. It's not TV money, right? We know that. It's not going to equal what the TV contracts are paying. But that stadium being empty and not having any money and losing games and then every game being put on ESPN Plus is going to eventually hurt the bottom line enough to where they make a change. So it's a business like everything else. As long as you continue to buy their product, what reasoning and what incentive do they have to change that product? So if you want to make them change the product, quit buying it.
That's where I'm at. I totally agree with you with that. As far as, you can jump and cry and shout, ain't going to do nothing. That's what I do on a daily basis over this WVU thing, that I was born into,
That's right. That's right. And,
but it's just stop when they physically see that it is half full, quarter full, whatever full, reality hits then.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's not us sitting here saying trying to start a revolution. Nobody go. No, they asked the question. The question was asked, what can you do as a fan to make an impact? And that's the answer. And that's really the only answer. Yeah, because as long as the money is still coming in, they don't have an incentive to make a change. So there it is. And the last one is a follow-up question to what I just asked, really. Does giving up and deciding I'm not spending any more money on the team and on the program, if Neil's retained, does that mean I'm turning my back on the program and I'm a bad fan? No. To my opinion?
No.
Absolutely not, and here's why. If this was year one, two, or even three, I'd say, look, you got to stick it out. You got to give him a chance. Everything was new. Everything was fresh. Neil was trying to get his culture, his system, those first 3 years, trying to get his stuff in place, trying to get his players. This is year six. Everything that is here now is what Neil Brown wanted to have here. This is what he thought was a good idea and brought in. It's year six, and the best we can finish is 6-6 right now. At some point. We're 5-5. We got two games left. Right?
More math.
Dude, my math is killing me today, man. God bless the Christ.
The best we can finish is 7-5.
The best we can finish is 7-5. Damn it.
At least you're not making $4 million to do this math.
man. I'm telling you right now. Sorry, guys. The best we can. I'm stuck on 6-6 because
you are.
Where we're going to finish. We're not beating Tech. That's where we're going to finish, more than likely. Sorry. It's year six. The best we can finish is 7-5. We're more than likely going to finish 6-6. At some point, it has to be the administration's turn to say, okay, the fans have put their time in. They've put their money in. Nobody's happy. We're not winning games. It's our turn now to make a decision to try and bring new life back into the program, okay? And we were talking about this at the tailgate with your buddy Tony or whatever his name was.
Big Tony.
Yeah. Hiring a new coach, somebody says, we're 6 years. Do we really want to hit the reset button again? Well, the other option is to keep continuing what we're doing and not get anywhere.
Definitely insanity.
definition of insanity. Hiring a new coach brings in that new fresh feeling, and all those people that are pulling donations right now, all that money comes back because the administration has taken the step to say, yeah, okay, we get it. We suck. We're not doing things right right now. We're going to make a change. Here it is. So to me, no, I don't think if you decide next year, you're not spending any money, you're not watching any games because the product is what it is and you don't like it anymore and it doesn't interest you, I don't think that makes you a bad fan. I think it's the administration's turn now to show faith in us as opposed to the fans constantly showing the faith in the administration now.
So as I've sat here and contemplated this last night after the game, got home here, turned on the Arizona State game, and finished and watched Kansas.
Kansas beat BYU.
Yeah. So as I'm sitting here, stewing and just my mind turning, I thought something. I had like a revelation went on, you know, a little bit of whoo moment. I said, Ren Baker, he is not emotionally connected to Neil Brown. That's not his guy.
Right.
You know, I don't know why it took me so long to realize that. And I go, Ren, that's not your hire that you have to make a decision upon. That's somebody else's kind of, hate to say it, you're dealing with somebody else's problem.
Right.
Hey, Ren, bring in your own coach.
Sure.
You know, hey, you did. Hey, you went out and got DeVry. That's your guy. So if he shits the bed, Ren, that's on you. If Kellogg women's basketball doesn't work out, that's on you. If the guy who took over from Maisie for baseball, he doesn't work out, that's on you. Brown is not on you, dude.
Well, hold on now. So, hold on. There's a hook there. But Brown's on him to a certain point.
Because of the extension.
Right.
Right. And I know
you don't get rid of him.
And I knew you were going to go with that. Believe me, I thought that. And I said, that is on you, but you still didn't solidify. You didn't do it for 3 years. You didn't do it for, you know what I'm saying? You just kind of said, heart of the moment, coming right off a bowl win. Yeah, he's going to take a little bit of a pay cut to dish it on to his assistants. We've seen how that went. They're just lighting it up. But anyway, it's Ren, you got the perfect opportunity to stamp your guy. Go find your dude. You know?
Well, I hope he does it because if we lose against UCF.
But you understand where I'm coming from with this.
Yes. Right? Yeah.
You know, and like I said, I'm not torching Brown. I tried to hold on as long as I could and you know, let me get blood on my hands for you, dude. And all I couldn't protect you from yourself anymore.
Yeah.
And I tried to, and believe me, you know, and I'm wrong. I admit I'm wrong. And, you know, I'm not going to beat our drum saying, you know, that we put this podcast together, real fans, real talk. That's exactly what we do. And this is the debates that I want to have, except for, you know, other issues. Other than this, I hope we're winning this time next year, but, it's tough. And I was wrong by, you know, openly holding on for as long as I did. And, yeah. You know,
I think your apology will be well received.
It's not an apology.
It's an apology. It's okay.
It's an omission. It's an omission of wrong.
So, I've got one more thing.
Let's go.
And just because we're getting high on time. I know.
But I want to
get this out there. Okay. People. If you go to a freaking sporting event, do not bitch at people for standing up. So long story short.
Okay.
All right. Guy that sits in front of me, he's had season tickets here in front of us for 2 years now. He's a real cool guy. Shout out to my buddy Josh there in row 9. He sits like right in front of us. The people, he was standing up, and a lot of people were standing up at the freaking football game. The people behind us complained the whole first half. Wish I could see the game. Can't see anything because this guy won't sit down. Everybody else around them standing up except me, you know, because I wasn't as invested yesterday as I normally am. So I sat most of the day, and I can see because his wife is like as tall as my wife, a whole 14 inches shorter than me. So I could see over her head sitting down. So I just, you know, didn't stand a lot. But he and most other people around us were standing. That's all I heard. Eventually, I turned around and said, with all due respect, have you guys been to a football game or a sporting event where people don't stand? And they just kind of looked at me. I said, I'm not trying to be rude. I'm really not. I said, look around the stadium. 90% of the people in this state, well, yeah, 70% of the people, I said 90, but, you know, 90% of the people in this stadium are standing. It is a sporting event. I've never been to one where everybody sits down. What sporting events are you going to where people don't stand? Well, I paid for a ticket, and I think I should be able to see the game. I said, guess what? The other 50,000 people in here also paid for their tickets. I said, I'm not trying to be rude. It's a sporting event. People stand. That's just all there is to it. Now, he sits during timeouts. He sits at halftime. He sits on TV timeouts. The only time he stands is when actual play is going on. And a lot of the times, he will still sit if the people in front of him are sitting. Okay? So it's not like he's one of these people that gets there and stands for the entire 4 hours, no matter what's going on. But I just wanted to throw that out there, people. It's a freaking sporting event. People stand.
So where I'm at with that is, this happens to me. I sit low. I'm on row 14. I'm low, and so
I sit lower than you.
I wish I was higher. I'm actually trying to move my seats up next year.
I would like to move up, actually.
Yeah, I'm too low. Yeah. But if I don't mind if somebody's standing, but don't stand up. I sit down. I'm on the visitor side. Looking down, I'm closest to the band on the visitor side. I look down about the 35 yard line, and I have to stand to see anything on where the visitors come out.
Right.
That corner is kind of hidden to me.
Sure.
So when the plays are down on that side, like from the 20 in, 30 in, we have to stand. We don't have to stand from the 50 toward the band. You know,
right. Sure.
That's when it burns my ass when people are standing up. I get on, it's third down. I get it. Stand up, blah, blah, blah. I do the hands on knees kind of crouching. That's like I'm coaching on this, you know.
Yeah, like you're coaching.
I don't do the full stand. I do my chin is basically on a person's shoulder in front of me, nice. You know.
And take me for instance, like I'm 6'3". If I don't have to stand, I won't because I don't care. Right. I don't have to stand. And if I stand up, unless the person behind me is at least 6 foot, they're probably going to be looking into my shoulders, the back of my head.
With me, we just meet the same way, dude. You know, we're both big boys. Yeah. You know? Here I am. I'm 6'2", 305, you know? But it's just one of them things where you're not going to see over me. So I realize that the person behind me, I'm blocking. I realize that. So I kind of crouch and I'll ask, can y'all see? Because guess what? When people say stand up in row 4, it's making people stand up in row 7. 7 turns it's a chair effect.
It's a stadium effect.
It's stadium effect.
So
but right. I get that. But anyway,
that's where I'm at with it. I just wanted to throw that out there, man. It burned me a little bit. But anyway, look, sorry we went a little long this week.
Yeah,
we did run a little long. But we had to get Lanny's new segment in there, and that's really where the extra time came from. So
I'm good. I'm good with that. I'm perfectly fine with that.
Everybody knows now where you can find us. You can catch us on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. We're all there. Come to our Twitter page. Give us a follow there. It's all Ear to Ear Podcast. Search it. It should come up. If it doesn't, hit us up on Twitter, man. We'll hit or leave a comment on YouTube. We're not hard to find.
Yeah.
So with that being said, everybody, we hope you guys have a good week.
And we hope we kept you entertained from ear to ear. Let's go.